Welcome, everybody, to episode 309 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, March 21st, 2017. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, not joined by John James Jacoby. He's celebrating something called a wedding anniversary, I believe, down in Charleston, South Carolina. So that bugger, he'll be on next week, I'm sure, to tell us all about his time at WordCamp Miami. Boy, what an event that turned out to be. So can't wait to talk about that next week. But I do have two awesome guests on today. We're going to have an enlightening discussion about something called AMP, Accelerated Mobile Pages by Google. And to talk about that, I have on Alberto Medina, who is a developer advocate working with the Web Content Ecosystems team at Google, and Western Reuter, who's been on the show before. He is the Chief Technology Officer at XWP. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Are you ready to get controversial? Let's spread some of this FUD.
I was all geared up for John to be on here to fight with him, but I guess we'll just, you know, kind of sail through this now.
I know. And by the way, you know, John's not on the show, so we might be able to keep it under an hour. We'll see.
Yeah, and we can follow up later. We can have a second show.
Yeah, I can rub it in. So, Alberto, thank you very much for joining us. Let's start off at the beginning. Let's set the foundation here. I believe AMP was released in 2015, but tell us, what is AMP and what is its main goal?
Yeah, I said, you know, I like to think about discussions about AMP to center them around that time. I call it, you know, like year one before AMP. At that time, basically, the state of the web was in kind of a critical condition, right? So there were studies that were showing that users were spending most of the time in native apps with a ratio of, like, you know, 86% to 14%. And basically, the evidence seemed to indicate that the web was dying. And that was a scary, scary situation. And the reason that that was happening is because users were getting a better experience in native apps, right? And, you know, mainly because of two reasons, right? The web platform was lagging the native app platform. For example, things like accessing the device features, like Bluetooth and things like that. And also the performance on the mobile web was catastrophic, right? So there were studies showing that, you know, the average loading time was 19 seconds and 53% of users abandon a website when it loads in more than 3 seconds. So which essentially means that the web was not being looked at. So that was it was clear at that time for everybody that two things. One, it's very difficult to achieve good performance in the mobile platform. And also that performance matters, especially in terms of revenue and user experience. So that was the context in which the AMP project emerged and was born. And it basically part of a bigger picture of trying to achieve a good experience. You probably have heard about the term progressive web apps. At the time that AMP started, Google had been investing a lot in the health of the web in general, tooling, you know, bringing forward new features to the web platform, new web APIs and things like that. And AMP was basically one of the pieces that was missing in order to provide an awesome user experience from start to finish.
And on a technological level, I mean, you say AMP is more than just one thing. It's a set of components, right?
Yes. So when people, you know, when we talk about AMP, everybody, basically we are talking about one or more of three or four components that actually correspond to what AMP is. One is the AMP HTML, right? That is the format. You know, it's like you can see it as both a subset of HTML, because there are certain tags that are not allowed. For example, image tag cannot be used. It's replaced by an AMP image tag. And at the same time, it's a superset of HTML because there are extensions that are provided that are designed specifically for performance. Then you have the AMP runtime. That is basically the piece of JavaScript library, a JavaScript code that runs in every AMP document that provides the logic of the components and also performs a bunch of smart optimizations that give AMP part of its performance. So that's AMP, the technology itself. And then you have things like the AMP cache that corresponds to what I like to see as the AMP ecosystem, right? It's like things that take advantage of AMP or complement the AMP components library to provide them the ultimate performance, the snappy feeling when you load something from the AMP cache. And then you have the rest of the AMP ecosystem that are platforms that take advantage of AMP benefits, right? For example, Twitter embeds AMP because of the same reason, because they want to provide an awesome experience to users when they access content in their platform. Pinterest does the same. Bing search results do the same. So those are the four components that I like to think about when I think about AMP.
Yeah, so, and I'll add on to that too, what John was saying last time about the AMP format requiring AMP to be hosted by Google for Google to try to take control of everything. That's just one piece of the AMP family of technologies consists of. So you can serve AMP directly from your own website without having to involve any cache at all. And you don't have to use Google's cache. You can use Cloudflare as a cache as well. And there's also an effort to build up kind of a caching layer in the host as well, so that you can get the same benefits, speed benefits of an AMP cache, but using your own origin instead.
So one of the primary benefits or purposes of using AMP is to have that performance for the mobile web, for people browsing your site on mobile. But in reality, the way things are built, I mean, a technical or very good developer can do and accomplish everything that AMP does separately without using AMP, correct?
That is exactly correct. I may add some comments and then Weston can complement. That is a true statement. But if you think about what it takes to actually build high-performance mobile apps, it's a very complex process, right? You need to think about, just coding things like animations, are not blocking the main thread. How are you going to deal with your monetization strategy? How are you going to basically use the development process so that developers can be more efficient and produce features faster? So there are so many components that it's true that anybody can do it, but the reality is that it's very hard for most developers to achieve it. So if you think about it, at the core of this discussion is the fact that developing awesome user experience should be an inclusive process. So I should not be a rich organization with 20 awesome developers to be able to say, oh, my experiences are the best. Everybody should be able to produce these experiences with reasonable effort. Yeah. And I would add an anecdote of this is like, if you think about it, we, as far as we know, there is one company that has produced implementations that compete against AMP neck to neck, and that is The Guardian. It's this publisher in the UK. They have an awesome engineering team, and that's the only use case that I know that achieves it that way consistently. And again, I would like to see that available to everybody.
Another use case that AMP provides is because it's a fixed specification of a whitelist approach to a library instead of other libraries, which more give you additional tags that you can use in addition to anything else. AMP is a specific whitelist of all the things that it allows. And because scripts aren't allowed, that allows AMP documents to be embedded safely in other contexts, which you wouldn't be able to do if you just had very high performance documents, but they have scripts that could be unsafe. AMP constrains what you can do in a way that not only ensures good performance, but also ensures security.
Yeah.
When you talk about constraint, I was just getting to the part where does the performance benefits come from? And I don't use AMP, but I've browsed a number of websites with URLs that run AMP. And I don't know if it's changed, but I remember probably not too long after it was released, if I browsed a website that used AMP and they showed me the AMP URL, a lot of things that would be on the website natively, like on desktop, would disappear. And so you would just maybe get some images, the text, just the bare necessities.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons why it was so fast. Is that still the way it works today?
I would like to mention quickly two things, actually. When you say like where the performance comes from, it's an important question, right? Because many times we talk about AMP as an abstract thing that is just like a gated thing, just don't get, just to be served from the Google cache. But let's mention some of the optimizations that AMP does, right? For example, if I am a developer and I want to do the same, I would have to take care of, for example, do not execute any JavaScript synchronously. So that is a big no-no because that would block the main thread. AMP uses what is called a static layout system. And basically, all the components, all the elements in the page have the sizes clearly defined so that the runtime system can do optimizations in layout and there is no content shifting and things like that. For example, be careful, do not add anything to your page that blocks the rendering process. Okay, so I need to be careful with that, especially if I want to monetize. Don't put too much CSS because loading CSS blocks rendering. So I have to be careful. And we know that, you know, bloated CSS is a very, very common thing. We have to be careful of the type of CSS animation that we use. They start to use only the ones that run on GPU accelerated capabilities, right? So what I'm trying to say is that if you see all the optimizations and all the performance benefit, it's a lot of things that you have to have in your mind. And not only once, you have to keep them in mind as long as the app is alive. So that's what I wanted to add in terms of the optimization. And what is the second question that you asked about the URL? Sorry.
The URL would show, basically it would strip pretty much everything you would see. You'd visit a URL on a desktop in the browser and you'd see ads and videos and everything else, but you visit it on a Google AMP provided URL and it was stripped. All you saw was what mattered, and that was the content and the images, and everything else was stripped. Is that still the way it's displayed and functions today?
I'll chime in there. Initially, AMP stood for Accelerated Mobile Pages, but the mobile aspect to AMP is falling away in favor of, I forget what the other suggestions for the M to stand for are, but it's really now the entire website. So the current push within the AMP project is to look at native AMP experiences. So there is no separate URLs at all. So if you go to like the ampproject.org, it's the exact same URLs on desktop and mobile and has all the same content, desktop and mobile, and you get one experience across the board. And a big reason why initially AMP documents were so basic and rudimentary was that the AMP project didn't have support for a lot of things that you could want to do in a non-AMP document. But that is very different now with a lot of the interactivity that you can do with AMP and all the different components now that are developed. So really, you can develop entire e-commerce experiences with AMP and not have separate dumbed down versions of your site when served as AMP.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. And so there is the issue of, as Weston indicated, the evolution of AMP since the beginning. So now we see AMP as what is called Turing complete, which basically means that you can do anything with it. But also it's interesting to notice that WordPress, specifically Automattic, were one of the early adopters of the technology, right? So they went jump ahead and tackled the issue head first, and they created the AMP plugin, right? But the AMP plugin, basically, on one hand, you have the limitations of AMP at the beginning, and then you have a plugin that was also limited, and it was generating pages that look basically as a stripped down version of the original one. And WordPress is so powerful and so big that there were so many AMP pages that were looking like that people said, like, oh, AMP can, that's how AMP pages look. This sucks. But it was basically a limitation of the technology that was being used. Now, the work that we have been doing with SWP and Automattic, you can see that the plugin basically generates AMP pages that are identical to the original. There is no more distinction between the two versions.
And as I understand it, AMP team got involved with, of course, the Automattic partnership, and then it was used extensively on their VIP sites, the big powerhouse sites. I did a lot of work and enhancements to the plugin through there. Weston, maybe you can give us some information on how XWP got involved in this partnership and why you've been working alongside Google and Automattic to improve, I guess, specifically the AMP for WordPress plugin.
Yeah, like Alberto was saying, we got involved to push forward this idea of native AMP to be able to do everything you can do in WordPress in AMP. So there's one of the big limitations of the plugin before 0.6 was that you couldn't do pages in AMP. Only posts or custom post types could be done in AMP. So now we did a little release with that support added. But then in 0.7, the upcoming release, the big push has been to have what we call the AMP. You say add theme support AMP, similar to how you do add theme support for a lot of different things in WordPress, including add theme support HTML5 is another thing that you can do in WordPress. But add theme support AMP, if you add that to a theme, then that says this theme is AMP compatible, meaning that the theme isn't going to be enqueuing JavaScript that it depends on to manage like the navigation menus and things like that. But to be able to move away from the legacy post templates that were built in the plugin to begin with, which Alberto described as filling the need for getting AMP first deployed out into the ecosystem, but now the AMP is more mature and can do everything that you would want to do on a regular website. Now we can look at how can you build WordPress websites as you would normally, but within the context of AMP. So you can build your themes like you would normally, just say add theme support AMP, and then pretty much everything that you would do normally, like enqueuing CSS or using template tags, all that stuff, using comments, the comment system, everything works as you would expect, but just with the AMP runtime enabled.
And we mentioned this on previous episodes, but at AmpConf, you guys showed off a lot of the work that's been done. I mean, there's a lot of work that's gone into the 0.7 release of the AMP for WordPress plugin. Do you have, for those who may be excited about that and excited to see the changes, specifically how by default, or maybe it was the add theme support portion I saw in the video, where the WordPress theme or the WordPress website on desktop will look pretty much identical or exactly the same. And you have access to menus and everything you normally would in the desktop view in the AMP view on the website. Is that all included in 0.7?
Yeah, if you go to ampdemo.xwp.io, that's running the theme that we developed for AmpConf. And there is actually no non-AMP version of the site. It's all AMP. And so desktop, mobile, everybody's only served AMP. And you can see that all the WordPress functionality from menus to commenting to widgets, short codes, all the things that you would do normally in a WordPress site, you can do in AMP with AMP enabled. And that's really the drive for 0.7 to target a vanilla WordPress installation. So anything you do out of the box with WordPress, with short codes and widgets and menus and everything that you can do in WordPress out of the box that you can do in with valid AMP. And then moving forward, then we'll be looking at broadening that into the ecosystem with adding support for the most popular themes, working with plugin developers to be AMP compatible and things like that.
Yeah. I would like to mention something quickly regarding the partnership that we have with XWP and Automattic, because there is two layers of the partnership, right? One is the technical excellence that both XWP and Automattic bring to the partnership, but also something that is very important for me personally is a shared vision, right? So we basically are doing this work not for the sake of AMP, right? But for the sake of the evolution of the WordPress ecosystem, which is fundamental for the web in general. So WordPress is a third of the web today, and there is nothing that tells me that it's not going to continue growing. And if you remember, we mentioned at the beginning that AMP fits in a bigger puzzle in which we want to provide awesome user experiences from the beginning to the end. So a natural extension of this work is going to be also working on progressive technologies like service workers, integrations, and things like that. That is something that we would like to break ground as well in the WordPress ecosystem. So I just wanted to mention that so to put the work on AMP in context.
So one of the topics I've read over the past couple of months, maybe over even the last year, I've read a lot of articles about AMP is a threat to the open web. So that's a big can of worms there. And I started to get confused about all these things I was reading about how AMP is detrimental to the open web and how Google is creating this silo, its version of what the mobile web should be or this walled garden. And I started thinking to myself, well, if that's the case, Matt Mullenweg and Automattic in general are big proponents of the open web. They're big advocates of it. So why would they, have a partnership with Google and the AMP team for this plugin if it's detrimental to the open web? And now Recently, there was an official blog post published on the Google blog about where AMP is going to go in the future. And this sort of answered a lot of questions for me, but maybe I'd like to give you an opportunity to sort of express this or answer this controversy head on. Is AMP a threat to the open web?
No. Okay. So that's the short answer. I think that there is fair criticism. And actually, when you embark in a project so challenging and so important as this one, it's great that the whole community is just together and, you know, we want to be called out for the things that we could improve, right? But there are certain things that are at the core of the discussion that many times are, in my opinion, basically angled in the wrong perspective, right? For example, you hear things like Google created AMP only to benefit ourselves, right? So, but if we go back again to the time when AMP was created and 53% of the users were leaving sites that were not loaded in 3 seconds, so that means that everybody was at a loss, right? You could not make money. You could not show your content because people, this was just basically not patient to do that. So I think that the internet economy is not a zero-sum game. If we improve the web, everybody wins. So that's one thing. Similarly, if you think about the WordPress ecosystem, a system like, you know, an evolution step like Gutenberg is undoubtedly good for the ecosystem, right? So it benefits automatic, yeah, but it benefits everybody creating content in WordPress. It's a similar scenario. At the core of most of the criticism is the idea that Google gives preferences to AMP pages. And that is basically, you know, people say, well, you know, why are you, you know, excluding us if, you know, if we don't do AMP? And that is actually a very valid criticism, which I think is also probably a misunderstanding, because the way that I see it is like there is AMP, as I said, in the ecosystem. When AMP is using products like Google Search, for example, the top stories carousel is a feature of the Google Search product that we want to provide awesome experience to our users. However, that doesn't mean that we preference AMP content, because the search results are sorted by relevance, solely determined by the PageRank algorithm. So we, you know, AMP is not like, oh, you are AMP, then you're going to be first. That is not the case. So in certain way, yeah, we use AMP, like Twitter use it or Pinterest use it, but we are not basically favoring content creators that use it. And it's not a signal in the ranking algorithm.
I think a lot of the misunderstandings comes from the rollout of AMP and how Google was using it internally to test it and to test these theories and different ways of improving the mobile web using its products first. And I think that's where some of that thought process comes from.
Yeah. And I think that, as you mentioned before, also is like the fact that when the AMP pages are served from the cache, right, they come with this URL that is being served from the Google domain, right? So the URL is at the core of what the web is. Anything that seems to imply that the URL model is threatened is a threat to the web. And that is a fair point to make. And as you know, the article that was published recently, there are mechanisms now in order to be able to serve the publisher URL directly without any alteration. So that is something that is fixed and is going to be rolled out in the near future. And I think that is at the core of most, in my opinion, the criticism that I feel that is more well-founded and with a reason, and hope, and luckily we have a solution for it. And also it is important to understand that, yeah, there are, in order to bring these changes and these performance gains forward, you have to make some tough decisions. And, you know, we are able to fix the ones that need to be fixed, but also many succeeded. And that's why we are thinking about standardizing some of the capabilities of AMP so that are available in the web platform for everybody.
And I'll give Weston a chance, because he's been engaged on these conversations on Twitter we've been having with AMP. You know, just your thoughts on, I'll just ask you, and you could, it's probably no to you as well, but your thoughts on this notion that AMP is a threat to the open web.
I would agree with Alberto that it is not. And the key thing I think to note is that AMP uses open web technologies throughout. If you want to view an AMP document, all you need is your browser. You don't need an app. You don't need to be viewing it through some walled garden ecosystem. You can access AMP content directly from the origin of a website. And so it's just using JavaScript and CSS and HTML and new technologies that are being, new standards that are being developed on top of those, like web components and custom elements and things like that. So there's nothing unopen about the specification itself. There are, I suppose, non-open aspects to the larger ecosystem, like with the caches, which can be more controversial, but still anybody can have a cache. Anybody can host AMP content through a cache. And so I don't really see how it's a violation of the open web.
Yeah, and if we look today, like in the post that was published, the Google AMP team is taking bits and pieces of it, and they're going to go to W3C and the various standards bodies, and they're going to try and make bits and pieces of AMP that they have seen be successful and try and turn them into standards that could benefit everyone. But to that end, there's this criticism of, well, getting something to be standard is going to take a while, and until it actually becomes an official standard, then AMP just benefits Google.
Well, as I said before, like if we have a web that that enables awesome user experience, I think that we all win. So I think, you know, what is the alternative for me as a developer, right? So if it is true that, okay, let's not use AMP and let's just basically continue advocating for coding and performance best practices, and then let's wait until all content creators basically catch up and then they are able to develop these awesome experiences, I think that we run the risk of basically the web dying, really, right? Because if we cannot provide smooth and fast and seamless user experience.
I tell you right now, browsing like just my local news websites on mobile sucks.
Exactly. So, and that is a threat to the web, right? Because, you can create content if you can monetize your content. But if users don't look your ads, then you cannot monetize content, then you're going to have to close your website. So I want awesome content. I personally don't have a problem with good ads, but I don't want ads blocking my thread and then shifting my content when I read in the article. So I think that not doing anything is more of a threat to the web that, working together to achieve solutions that work for everyone.
And AMP is just not for, it's not just for the mobile web. I mean, AMP's now branched off into stories, I believe, email.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about branching off the AMP technologies into other areas.
Yeah, it's all about user experiences, right? How do we bring user experiences that are awesome in any way? So arguably email is a platform in which a lot of things happen all the time. You know, it would be an awesome world in which I can do things with my email that I cannot do now, engage with content, buy tickets, shop, and things like that. And also enable content creators to create awesome stories with the AMP stories format, for example. So it's new ways to basically allow awesome content to be added to the web. So we need to evolve the web so that we can keep creating and consuming content.
Yeah, and as I said before, one aspect of the AMP specification being a whitelist of what is allowed and how then it is safe to be embedded in a context where you would normally not trust content, random content to be injected. That then is what makes AMP email possible, because, or AMP for email, because you can take some random content from that is verified as being valid AMP and put it right into your document, into your email client, and not worry that it's going to do something malicious. And also another thing is AMP for ads too is another example of that, where one of the worst things about web performance is ads that get loaded in an iframe and they load a bunch of random JavaScript and they really slow down your experience. AMP for ads allows you to then write ads as actual AMP And then because it is verified as being AMP content and safe, it can be embedded right into your page in line without having to do any iframe at all. So it loads way faster, provides a much more seamless experience for users. Mm-hmm.
So kind of looking back on it, on the way AMP was rolling, you know, I mentioned, we had a little chat and I mentioned earlier that, you know, there, it's kind of, I saw similarities between the way Gutenberg was rolled out and announced and what that was going to be in AMP. Now, okay, two totally different companies and projects, and I get all that, but I mean, from the aspect of communication, where when Gutenberg was rolled out, it was explained that it was going to just revamp the editor. But it took, after a lot of communication and after about a year, year and a half, people finally started to understand, no, Gutenberg is way more than that. It's the evolution of WordPress. It's the editor first, but then it's the customizer. And then, you know, the sky's the limit. And AMP seems to be along the same way, where, you know, first we're going to start out with this. And then, and now we just saw the blog post where after 2 years or two or 3 years now, that we're starting to see the fruits of the AMP project. And now we're going to take what we've learned and apply it here and apply it there and improve the web as a whole. So I looking back on it, did you think maybe, I'm guessing communication probably could have been better with the initial rollout of AMP, but.
Totally. You are absolutely correct. And I personally believe that we all did our best, but when you see things in perspective, it's much easier to see, like, okay, we should have done this or should have done that. Yeah. But one of the things that I think a lot about is that before AMP was rolled out and we had these 2 years of experience with it, we knew a lot of the things that we called best practices and, you know, this would work and this would maybe not work, but we didn't really know what would it take from a practical standpoint to bring these things to the masses, right? So we have learned a lot along the way. We could have 100%, we could have done a 100% better job communicating. But I think that the outcome, I am optimistic, I am excited about the future. And I think that we are very open and we have taken all the feedback, no matter how harsh or how tough, and we have engaged. We have asked people, like, let's come, you know, I have invited people to private GDCs to, like, let's talk about AMP. You know, I want to tell you what I think. Paul Backhouse, Malte, they have met with people to directly in communities, AMPConf. Everything happens open source. I think that we continue to improve, but you're right. So if I could go back, some things probably could have communicated better.
So one of the things I wanted to ask Weston, maybe his thoughts on this. You know, when we had Matt Mullenweg on the show for episode 300 not too long ago, and I said, you know, what would you like to see in a Guten theme? And he said, canonical AMP URLs or canonical AMP. And I'm like, really? And so I'm thinking about that. I'm like, well, I mean, how would that work? Would you just take AMP and put it in the theme? Now everybody has to use AMP. But if you start taking out the components and caching and things of that nature, I guess without rolling every AMP directly into WordPress core, I guess you could have a default theme that uses AMP and canonical AMP by default, right? You could build AMP support in to a default theme.
Yeah, we are looking into that with basically having a theme be aware of whether or not AMP is available. And if so, then make use of it so that if you do have AMP installed, the plugin, then your theme can take advantage of all the different performance improvements that the AMP plugin provides out of the box. And if it so happens to be by chance that the community likes AMP through the result of the prototype work that we're doing with the AMP plugin and all the explorations we're doing and getting feedback, and if it evolves to a point where it becomes a feature plugin whereby it can then be proposed for consideration to be included into core itself, then themes would be in core would be able to leverage AMP, just like HTML5 support was added to core behind a theme support flag several years ago. And so there could be, in the same way, an AMP flag, which themes could optionally take advantage of if they wanted to, but they wouldn't be required to, of course. So that's a long-term view of what could happen with the AMP plugin if we are successful with demonstrating its capabilities and the community is on board with what we're doing.
No, it'd be interesting if at some point in the future, somehow, some way, bits and pieces of AMP get rolled into just official web standards, and then everyone who's using WordPress is browsing their website and just naturally has a great mobile web experience. And little do they know, it's actually the heritage of AMP that's powering all that stuff. And we don't even know it.
Yeah. I like that future.
Of course you do. So, I mean, yeah, so it's kind of interesting looking back how we had the dot mobile domains, and then we had the mobile plugins. They were pretty popular for a while to create a mobile version of your website, and now we have responsive web design so that, you know, the website shrinks down. You can see it just the way it's supposed to, even on the desktop but on a smaller screen. And now we have AMP, which, like, takes the benefits of responsive web design and just ramps up the performance aspect of it.
Right? Interesting analysis. Yeah, that's a good perspective. Yep. The evolution is interesting. And I think that we are we have gone a long way, but we are not done. So we need to continue, you know, working hard to make the web the best it can be.
So, I mean, there's already work involved, obviously, in the blog post of contacting different standards bodies to get different pieces into as to standards, and I imagine that deck process probably is going to take a while. I mean, they have requests for comments and all that stuff for a while.
Yeah, standards take a while. Yeah, I cannot, you know, predict how long it's going to take, but usually you see how everything, you know, goes, the standardization of, like, things like service workers and things like that. It takes time, and it should, but in the meantime, we need performance now.
So I want to get your your perspective on this as a human who's passionate about this project. And I've talked about this behind the scenes. We've talked a little bit about on the show related to Gutenberg as well, that there are people working very hard on these problems, and they deeply feel that they're doing it for the good, for the good of the web, for the good of everybody, that this is really a good thing that we're working on. And there is so much harsh criticism and feedback, and oftentimes a lot of legitimate concerns about these projects. But, you know, so how have you dealt with the feedback and the criticisms and you know, because behind the scenes, you and the AMP team feel like we're really doing a great thing here, but there's so many people out there who just, they don't see it that way.
Yeah. From a personal standpoint, and, you know, I'm talking not as a Googler, but just as Alberto. For me, it's hard, right? Because I do believe that we're on a mission, right? And it's true, we are a company. We are, like, but, you know, everybody that works with me, everybody, all the leadership that I see is like, yeah, we are doing, unless they are hiding something from me that I don't see, we truly believe that we are doing this. And when I talk to Matt Muhlenbeck, I truly believe that he is a champion for the open web. I truly believe that. It's like, and when I talk, you know, when I work with XWP, we are aligned. So, and XWP is a company as well. Automattic is a company. So for me, the hardest part is when people doubt that we are doing it for the right reasons, you know? And, you know, I used to work for defense many years ago, and I had such a dilemma in my head because I thought I'm working for things that are used in war. And for me, I couldn't reconcile that. You know, it was a very tough thing. Right now, I'm working on a thing that I think that I am, I don't know, I see that I have a cape and I am saving the web. So it's like, I may be misleading. I may be wrong, but that is what I believe. And I think that my team believes.
And any thoughts or feedback or maybe additional input on that from your perspective, Weston?
Well, given my involvement in the customizer for these past several years.
Oh, yeah. Boy, I knew that. Boy, that's...
I'm no stranger to strong opinions about something that's being done in the WordPress world. So I guess I'm used to it, so I don't take it too personally. But it is, I think Alberto said it very well, where we believe strongly in this being a benefit. It's an altruistic thing, we believe, to benefit everybody and the implementation up to now maybe has things that are not ideal, but that's given the state of the art. And as we have AMP as this test bed to prove out these technologies, and then they can be, it's very hard to standardize something that isn't actually used in the wild. So AMP really provides us with that test bed to see what works, what doesn't work, what needs to be standardized, what can be left up to third parties to do on their own. And so I see AMP as providing a very valuable resource to the standardization track. And I think that even that post hints at this too. I think with the goal of AMP, like the top stories carousel in Google search results, the goal is for not only for non-AMP content to be shown there as well. So really the AMP effort is really in some ways to make AMP not required. There's always going to be AMP functionality, AMP components that are going to be very useful, but it's going to be more of an optional thing that can amplify your work. That's already going to be, if you follow these new standards that are going to be coming out, you can get the same performance and benefits that you would get with AMP, but AMP would just provide some additional functionality on top.
Yeah, I would like to add something quickly, if I might. Sometime ago last year, I was reading an article that was extremely critical, you know, like, this is like crazy, you know. And then one of the comments to the article was a user from Brazil. And he said something that actually validated my mission, right? He said, like, I find interesting that you guys are discussing the benefits of AMP from your iPhones and your powerful laptops, when for me, it means the difference between being able to read the news or not. Because I have a crappy device on a 2G network in the middle of nowhere, and AMP is allowing me to consume content. I felt so good about that comment. I said, like, yeah, let's talk about the next billion users. So what's going to happen? What happened with all the people that don't have iPhones and Pixels? And, you know, like, yeah, we need to optimize these things. So it's actually, when I think about it that way, the negative criticism, actually, I want to use it to improve. And it doesn't feel, you know, negative.
No, that's a great comment. And that's totally opposite of a comment I saw on Twitter in this discussion. And someone said, well, what problem are they really trying to solve? Because in most countries, they have 3G or LTE mobile phone service, which isn't really true.
Yeah, even here, like, you know, I have LTE, but most of the time my phone is on 3G. Every time that I get on the train, the thing goes bonkers. If I drive a little bit too far, I go also. So it's like, yeah. So it's the web, many people access the web in low-end devices in crappy networks, and that's one of the hardest things of achieving high performance in the mobile web, right? That we are dealing with a platform that is hostile, is harsh. Mm-hmm.
So in terms of AMP, we talked a little bit about the future, but maybe you can give us a little more insight on the things that you guys, the AMP team's working on right now that could be on the horizon soon.
Well, I cannot talk about specific deliverables because that's, you know, I leave that for, right. I am very excited about the standardization efforts. I think that, you know, we talk a lot about the criticism that we see, but there is also a lot of like embracing of the technology because it's giving benefits to many people. So there is a lot of, you know, continued work to achieve this all AMP experiences. For example, my focus right now is on WordPress, and I'm really excited about seeing a full integration there. The AMP stories is, you know, being rolled out. Dynamic email is very, very important. You know, the use of web packaging specification in order to solve, you know, the URL problem, the inclusion of feature policies into browsers so that apps can basically explicitly say what features they want to be enabled or not. So there is a lot of exciting work happening. It's a great time to be a web developer and be, you know, doing things with the web.
And WordPress powering 30% of the web. Gee, what a strategic partnership you have with WordPress, huh?
I think that WordPress
trying to get AMP out there.
Yeah, WordPress is an awesome platform, and I think that there is, you know, the work that we are doing is going to, you know, significantly improve it. If you think about that together with Gutenberg, let the good times roll.
And by the way, speaking of Gutenberg, we've talked a little bit about this, and this was also brought up in the AmpComp video about the future of AMP and how that might interchange with Gutenberg. And we were talking about like you'll be able to have AMP blocks or AMP Guten blocks or something to that effect. Maybe talk a little bit more about sort of things that are being worked on behind the scenes for Gutenberg compatibility in AMP.
Yeah, well, it's not behind the scenes. You can just go to the AMP WP plugin repo on GitHub. And right now, the work has been focused on making sure that all the default blocks in core in Gutenberg plugin are AMP compatible. And there's only really one that needs special accommodation. That's the categories block, because it uses JavaScript. But then once that's in place, then enhancing the existing blocks in Gutenberg with functionality that AMP provides, like being able to control layout and having much easier way to lay out blocks in relation to each other in a document. And then adding blocks that are AMP specific, like AMP add or AMP carousel, or there's a lot of different components that AMP provides that makes it very easy to add functionality to a site. And so then we can have new blocks that are just specific to components that AMP provides.
Hey, it sounds like, sounds like Gutenberg is just turning into a giant toy box for people. You just create all these blocks, you know, and then they just throw them on there and have fun and rearrange them and put them together and all this other stuff. Maybe that's what Gutenberg really is, just a big box of Lego.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it'll turn into. So before we wrap it up here, I want to give I think we did a really good job of covering the basis of what AMP is, why it was created. It's an open source project built on open web components. You know, there's no hidden conspiracy here, secret doors. I mean, the main goal is to improve the user experience on mobile, on the web as a whole, not create a walled garden, anything of that nature. And I mean, I like what I'm hearing now. And now it makes a lot more sense to me why Automattic and even Matt Mulloway would be such a big fan of AMP based on what you guys are doing. So now things are starting to make a lot more sense to me. I'm connecting the dots.
Yeah, here. And thank you for giving us this opportunity, because I think that this is the forum and the platform ideal to like discuss these things. I love that these honest conversations, difficult, technical, and this is what we all need. So let's. I'm looking forward to your podcast coming up, and we're available. So anytime.
And by the way, thank you very much for listening to the show and offering to come on and talk about this, because that's, I love it. I mean, it's just we're just two smudges on here talking about AMP like we know what we're talking about, but to actually get you on the show and tell us, you know, the real deal and the folks who are working on it, like Weston, you know, clears a lot of things up.
No? Thank you.
But I'm sure our listeners appreciate it. So I'll give you the last word. If there's any final thoughts or maybe any way that perhaps is the AMP team looking for contributors, maybe for the AMP for plugin, the Google, yes. AMP for Google plugin.
Yes. So there is a lot of work in the pipeline. So we are basically looking forward to WordCamp Europe in June, and we're going to be showing the results of what we are working on right now. We are also going to be speaking at Google I/O about the WordPress work, which is also going to be very interesting. So the AMP plugin is open source. It would be awesome if we have the whole community join us and, you know, with feature requests, you know, participate, contribute. And I want to make a call to everybody to let's get together and think about user performance, user experience. Like, that should be the center of our discussions. And then we see how can we improve AMP, how can we improve caching, how can we improve, you know, service workers and everything that it takes to make sure that the experiences that users get are awesome. So it's a lot of things to come. You're gonna be hearing from us frequently.
I'm looking forward to it. And Weston, I'll give you the same opportunity.
Yeah, if anybody wants to follow along with development of the AMP plugin, just go to the automatic/amp-wp project on GitHub and follow along, look at issues that are being worked on. We're releasing betas of the plugin before they get pushed to WordPress.org. So testing out the new functionality. We're going to be working next on converting most popular themes to be AMP compatible, like 2017, 2016, 2015, so that the plugin itself can, if you have those themes active, that they'll be served then as native AMP. So that'll be a great example of showing how you can amplify your own theme that you already have, and then begin to then move beyond that and look at, okay, plugins, how are they compatible? What needs to be changed there to have them all perform in the same AMP context?
And throughout this work, I mean, it's not too far off to say that depending on how things shake out, that we could have AMP or AMP-like technologies merged into WordPress core. And that's how it functions for mobile websites or websites that are running on WordPress for mobile display, right? I mean, is that like a goal on a very distant horizon? I mean, or is it just like a possibility?
The way that I see it is not a goal in itself, but we may well prove that actually AMP is absolutely awesome for WordPress, mm-hmm. and therefore it would make sense. For example, also, if you think about progressive technologies like service workers, it definitely makes sense to integrate in with WordPress core and expose an API that plugins and teams can use. So I think that we have to do the right thing. And I wanted also to add to my closing remarks, I want to give kudos to Matt Muhlenbeck and Automattic, because they are basically also very committed to advancing the performance and user experience in WordPress, and working with them is awesome. So I think that, and also we are working with, I don't know if you know Mort Rand Hendrickson. He's also involved in this effort and on the theme side. So it's actually, you know, the coalition is growing.
If there's something really important with WordPress, there's a Morten Rand Hendrickson around. I'm starting to notice this trend. You know, Gutenberg, you know, AMP for WordPress. He's everywhere. He's a really, really smart, intelligent fellow to have on your side, and he has a great perspective on things. So we're going to wrap it up here. Gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for being on the show. Alberto, how can people get in touch with you or follow you on the Twitter sphere or whatever it is you're doing these days?
Yeah. Following me would be great. And there is also an AMP Slack channel that I can share with people. And if you go to the ampproject.org site, there are also ways to get support. Engage with us through the AMP -WP GitHub repo. So we're here. We're open. We would love to hear from everyone. And for, you know, the people that has concerns, just talk to me. You know, I can point you to sources of information, and then you can still have your position, but talking is probably clarifying things. So I'm open to engage.
And again, Alberto, thank you very much for being on the show and sharing your perspective and your insight into the AMP project. And Weston, okay, I know how to follow you. I follow you, but how can other people follow you, get in touch with you, and follow your work?
Yeah, on Twitter, Weston Reuter is my username, so it's very original.
All right. So, gentlemen, again, thank you very much for being on the show. That's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. Look at that. John ain't here, under an hour. No problem.
thank you, Jeff.
Oh, no problem. You can find show notes for this episode and every other episode on WP Tavern. com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, JeffrO0, or I tweet a bunch of boring stuff. Just kidding. Everybody have a safe, enjoyable rest of the week. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon, and we'll find out if John has a tan or not. I bet you he doesn't. So long, everybody. Say bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.